Sean, Fonty. I'm gonna go with Fonty. I like Fonty. I feel like it's a good, it's just a good nickname. Sure that that's, you know that already. So what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Jordan, thanks for having me. Yeah, Fonty's fine. It's a nickname that has picked up quite a bit now, obviously. It's funny because I wasn't really necessarily called Fonty growing up, but when I was creating my page, Fontaine Fitness was taken. So I was like, Fonty's a pretty good name. Let's go with that.
That is destiny, man. And you're absolutely destroying social media right now. You're killing it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But let's do one step back for the listener really quick. You'll know by now that I have forgot to block out the hours in which my daughter is sleeping. So I have been banished outdoors again. So if the audio quality is not what you're familiar with, the pristine audio at the Where Optimal Meets Practical Fitness podcast, it just is what it is. So yeah, hopefully we sound all right. But my editor will do the best that he can with the landscaping dudes that are inevitably going to come by and need to mow the blade of grass directly next to me where I'm standing.
Isn't that how it works?
It's always how it works. It's always a different day. Like Thursdays, I'm supposedly in the clear, but like I just know that I won't. I can hear like a weed whacker off in the distance, and I'm hearing it like getting closer to my house, and so
they're coming.
let's start with you, man. I follow you on social media, but other than just knowing the kind of content you make, I don't know too much about you. So I'd love to hear about your background, where you're from, what you're about, how you got into fitness growing up. Let's hear it.
Yes. So I grew up in Massachusetts. So I'm a New England boy. So very much you saw the four seasons. Not a huge winter guy, but you got to do it as part of being here. I grew up as a baseball player. So I was always an athlete growing up. I was always super active. I was actually always like the skinny kid. You know, I was just moving nonstop. Like it was the running joke. I was constantly outside playing, moving, just never stopped. And then just injuries throughout high school sort of started stacking up. I broke my finger pretty bad one year. High ankle sprain, severe bone bruise another year. So I kind of fell out of my sports routine, and I kind of lost myself for a little while there. Wasn't really feeling like I had a clear direction in terms of my exercise routine anymore. Obviously started dealing with some mental health issues on top of that, just because lack of exercise, movement, and healthy habits and routine can sort of do that too. So went off to college, enjoyed the whole college experience, a lot of partying, probably a little too much. Didn't really have any habits or routines, was gaining and losing weight all the time. Didn't really have a sense of control in terms of my health and fitness. Didn't understand nutrition, didn't understand any of it. Like I went through a phase where I was lifting and I knew like eating protein was important, but that was about it. I had no idea about calories or anything like that. So, you know, I went through all the fad diets and different things over the years, but ultimately, after years and years of trying everything, including keto, which lasted about a week when I was in college. And then I realized that you couldn't drink beer on keto. And I was like, well, that's not going to work for me. So, so that one didn't last too long, but eventually I started to actually learn about what it means to be in a calorie deficit, what it means to lose weight, how it all works. And once I started to actually understand it, I was like, oh, I see, I have like an analytical brain. So I'm like, oh, this makes sense. Like numbers, like, yes, now I can look at it and actually understand what's going into it. So I started to track my calories and cared more about my health and fitness and really understanding what it took to actually lose the weight and keep it off. And I became obsessed because, you know, like I was touching on before, going into this phase, my mental and physical health was not good, right? I wasn't in a good place mentally, emotionally, physically. I wasn't happy and I wanted to make a change. So I've been working on my health and fitness for a while. I was training for a while and I was feeling good in terms of my training, but I had no clue what I was doing with my nutrition yet. And I started on another super aggressive deficit, which ended up making me just feel like the worst that I ever have, because I thought I had to go to the gym to burn calories and I was just eating as little as humanly possible. Right. And it was not healthy until I finally like learned and brought it up, found the balanced approach, improved my physical and mental health, fell in love with health, fitness, and nutrition. And then sort of decided that I wanted to start sharing that message. So I don't know if we want to dive into that now too. I can sort of dive into how that all started.
I'll pick a couple of questions. What did you study in school?
Yeah. So I was in marketing. So creatives naturally came to me. I had a dual degree in marketing and finance. So I'm good with numbers, which is why that helped. But yeah. I basically got the finance degree because I was like, I know this is important to know. But I started taking marketing classes. I fell in love with that. I loved the creatives because it was just an outlet for me. And then it sort of all naturally led to where I am now. But marketing and creatives have always been a passion of mine.
Nutrition is funny because there's plenty of nuance and science and intricacies and pathways and physiology. And I just had Joey Munoz on the podcast, PhD, and there's a lot of intricate things you can know about nutrition. But there are a lot of PhDs that maybe lack some of the skills that you have, which are like from a let maybe we can I don't want to like pigeonhole you into like, oh, you're this marketer who's gone into the fitness space, but like you're creative, enthusiastic, and able to deliver messages in a way that have nothing to do with it in like really intricate physiology. Not to saying that you don't know any of that stuff, but I'm just saying that it's coming into the space with a different set of skills. And the irony is like what you actually need to learn, and you can correct me if you feel similar, or if you don't feel similarly, but what you need to learn to actually really help people isn't a lot. You don't necessarily need to be able to explain, certain physiological pathways and how they interact, and that's cool. And I'm interested in it, and I spend some of my time learning those things. But you don't need to learn that stuff to help people. Most people have issues with very simple, not always easy, but simple things. And so it feels to me like, hey, here's a guy coming into the space, didn't. Doesn't have a PhD in nutrition. Again, doesn't mean you don't know things, but has a different set of skills that might actually be more valuable if the end goal is helping the average person. Do you feel similarly?
Absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, I don't have a PhD. I don't have a degree in nutrition or exercise science or anything like that. Obviously, I've learned a lot through my own research and through coaching. You learn a ton, as you know. Like you'll learn more on the job than anything else. But my main goal is to help people who don't know anything, right? And being able to reach an audience and be like, look, like here are the steps we can start taking. Like here are the basic fundamental foundational pieces that if you can understand this, you can live a healthy, active lifestyle and improving your mindset along the way too, because I'm sure you can relate as well. A lot of what I end up working on with my clients is mindset more than anything else becomes the key in overcoming a lot of the obstacles that the average person is facing. The reason that they're struggling with their weight for as long as they are is usually more mental than it is having the knowledge. And then once we get the knowledge and we start working on our mental and emotional well-being, we're able to stack those wins and build sustainable, consistent progress. But yeah, absolutely. My skill set is definitely very beneficial for the social media side of things. It didn't necessarily, and the business side of things, of course, too, but it doesn't necessarily relate to nutrition. I've learned that all on the job and through my own research and knowledge and just curiosity to learn.
Tell me about the early days of making content. What was it like, that decision to be like, hey, I'm going to start posting stuff? And what did you start posting? What sort of reaction did you get? And when did things start to really pick up?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I first started creating content like 2.5 years ago. It was very sporadic at the time, like maybe once a week. I had learned so much. I had fallen in love with it. I developed such a passion for health and fitness. Like one day I was just sitting down watching, and the story will come full circle on this. I was watching Sean Casey's videos. I'm sure you're familiar. And I was just watching him sitting there. I'm like, I have an MBA in marketing. I could do this too. Like, there's nothing that's preventing me from being able to do this except for me standing in my own way of trying. So I was like, all right, we're gonna start making videos. And I started with a buffalo chicken pizza recipe. It's still on my page. If you scroll all the way back, you'll see it. And you'll see I didn't even talk in the video. I was too nervous to speak to my phone, not on camera, speak to my phone and record my voice. So it's just captions and music. And that's how we started. It took probably a couple months before I ever spoke to my phone, and that was nerve-wracking. And you know, when you start doing this, of course, you've got family and friends that are following and support, and then you also have people who are just kind of like, "What's this guy trying to do? Become an influencer? Like, what is the goal here?" But honestly, at the time, I was like, "If I can help one person with my content, if I can put a message out there that helps one person, or I can put a recipe out there that helps somebody on their weight loss journey, awesome! Like, that was the goal because it's what helped me so much." So started doing it. It was inconsistent. It was sporadic. And then after a year or so of doing it, by now I'm talking on camera. I'm posting maybe twice a week, but I wasn't really like, I hadn't really found my groove yet. So going into January of 2024, I was like, all right, I'm gonna start posting every day. And I started posting every day, and I had a couple of videos get a couple thousand views. You know, I was starting to feel like I had a little bit of a rhythm, but I still, like, I knew I was lacking knowledge. And then I saw Sean Casey's Social Circle was doing another intake. And I was like, well, this is the guy that inspired me to do this. He helped me so much in my health and fitness journey following his content. Let me see if I can join. So I joined, I invested into the social circle, and it was a very scary investment at the time because I'm like, all right, I'm putting all my money into this and my business has one client. Like I'm not making money at my business right now. Like I'm losing money in my business right now. But I invested in it and it was the best decision I ever made. Once I had like the blueprint and all these pieces to apply to content with a marketing background, everything was clicking. I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. Like applying this, and quickly my content became good. It was a few months of just like doing the right things and getting nothing in return, just like continuing to show up, show up, show up, show up. And then it was the fast food reels that were the first ones for me that really took off. I went to McDonald's. Actually, that's kind of a funny story. I've been putting it off for a couple months. I'd wanted to do it. A friend of mine in the group had done it, and I had asked him about it. He goes, yeah, go for it. But the idea of filming in public just scared me. I was like, I don't really want to do this. So I kept putting it off. One day I was like, okay, I'm gonna go. I'm just gonna do it. I was trying to find someone to film with me. I was like, screw it, I'm setting up a tripod. I'm just gonna do it myself. I walked into a McDonald's. It was busy. I panicked. I
You
left.
go to in
Didn't
your like
film.
hometown, or did you drive like four towns
No,
over? You're
I
like,
drove a few towns
yeah,
over.
I love
Yeah,
it. I love it. I
yeah.
love
And it was so busy. I was just like, I can't do this. I
that.
left, and then I left, and I'm driving back home, and I'm like, you can't do that. I was like, yeah, you go. So I drove to a different McDonald's. Thank God it wasn't busy. And
Nice.
I went in. I sat in the corner. I hid. And I filmed a quick video, and then that one got over 1 million views. I think I picked up my first 10,000 followers off of that, and it very quickly took off from there. Between that and a few other different videos and series over the course of really the last 14 months, I went from like 300 followers to 430,000-ish on Instagram now, which is
Still
just
one client though,
it.
probably. No, I'm just
Yeah,
kidding.
still the one
I'm just kidding. I mean, fuck
client. No,
around. Fuck around.
fortunately, the
Yeah.
business has grown along
Good.
with
Good for
that.
you,
I'm
man.
no longer working in an office job on top of it. So, actually, it's about a year to date that I gave my notice. So, it's been a full circle experience for sure.
That's awesome. Let's talk about that video. Let's talk about just that the what you think those so I don't want to pigeonhole you into like, oh, you make contents of you just go to a fast food restaurant, you tell people how to eat healthy, but that is those are really, really good videos that you do. What do you think it is about those videos that appeal to people, connect with people so much?
I think it's the relatability for a lot of people, because the reality is in America, like you throw a rock, you're probably gonna hit a fast food restaurant. You know, like they are everywhere. It's hard not to pass one anytime you get into a car. And a lot of us live really busy lives where we're on the road a lot, and convenience plays a role. And a lot of people think, okay, I need to lose weight, which means I'm cutting out everything. I'm cutting out fast food. I'm cutting out anything that lacks nutrients. Like I'm just going all in. And then that lasts like 2 weeks. And then they go to McDonald's and they get a Big Mac and they feel guilty. And then that spirals into a weekend of overeating. And then we restart the process, or we give up on ourselves. So instead, I'm like, look, rather than trying to cut it out, let's look at ways that we can start to incorporate it into our diet sustainably. Like, let's find some balance with this. It's not an all or nothing approach. It's about meeting yourself where you are. And I think a lot of people can relate with that, because so many people out there are telling them, like, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. And I'm like, look, let's just swap this out for that. You drop the calories by 1,000. You're sticking to your deficit. You're going to still make progress. And then what happens most of the time is people naturally go there less and less over time, because they're realizing what makes them feel good, what fuels them. But yeah, I think it's the relatability and being a voice that's not telling you you can't do something, you can't have something, because quite frankly, as you know, there's too much of that, and there's not enough of people like us that are teaching how to find the right balance, the balance that works for you. So I think that's the ultimate thing that really reached a lot of people.
Three guesses on what the biggest pushback on that sort of content is. I mean, like, I'd love to hear from you what, if there is any pushback by that. I don't want to assume that you're getting, just with the large account in a fast food restaurant, you don't need to be
Oh,
a rocket
yeah.
scientist to anticipate what sort of pushback is. But can you talk about that a little bit?
So, I mean, to be honest, I don't pay much attention to it anymore. It's become noise to me. Like I tune it out for the most part. But a lot of it is, obviously, you get your seed oil warriors. You're gonna get everybody who's just saying processed food. Like how could you promote something that is processed, doesn't have nutrients? It's like, yeah, I agree with you. It is highly processed. It doesn't have a lot of nutrients, right? And ultimately, it's being able to let that roll off your shoulders. It used to bother me a lot in the beginning, because when I didn't have a following, and all of a sudden I'm growing very quickly, and there's a lot of those messages coming in. And the reality is, the vast majority of the messages are positive. They just tend to be louder, right? So especially when you're first growing, you tend to hear those voices a lot louder. But ultimately, usually I just respond with like, Knowledge. I'll explain. Like, yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, it is ultra processed. It's not ideal. It doesn't have a lot of nutrients. I'm like, but if someone's eating fast food 5 times a week and you tell them to just stop going, they're not gonna just stop going. It's a habit, right? And habits aren't just like that easy to break. Like, if they were, that's great. Everybody would be fit, healthy, and happy, right? If it was that easy, then it wouldn't be a pandemic, basically, or an epidemic in our country, and we wouldn't be dealing with it right now. We wouldn't have jobs. But like, that's the reality of it, is a lot of people give you that negative energy, but like, not letting it get to you ultimately and just meeting it with positivity was the thing that's really helped me the most.
Yeah, you're not somebody who's like, hey man, you're promoting somebody go eat something that's like less bad, but still bad. That's gonna be like their MO. Every comment's gonna translate roughly to
Right.
that. And it's like, hey, like, don't necessarily disagree with you on a philosophical level, but like in reality, in the real world, like helping people be able to go to these places and make a better choice is better than what they were doing before. And the expectation of somebody to go from the standard American diet to like cutting boards and ribeyes or whatever the hell like people idealize, like I think that is again idealistic. So yeah, I love what you're doing. I'm glad you're not letting it get to you. Like you're not those people will never go away. I mean, just it's never going to go
No.
anywhere. And so here's it's funny that as I of course like have you on the podcast, I'm like, let me stalk, you know, I follow you, but let me browse content, let me see if there's like any like posts that jump out to me. And I could not even get through a few because I just was getting really, really hungry. And so like I was like, all right, like I get it. And so I'd love for you to just talk a bit about, I know it's kind of funny, but I actually genuinely mean this question, but like, what are some of the places that you have felt, wow, like you've been surprised with how well you can make these swaps, how well you can eat there? Like what if someone's like, hey, I'm interested in that sort of a thing of like, hey, I want to be able to go to a restaurant. I want to go to fast food if my friends want to go or if I want to go. And make a reasonable choice. Which ha what places have surprised you positively or negatively?
The one that surprised me the most in terms of the how easy it is to get high protein and high fiber was Taco Bell. Taco Bell really surprised me. There is like a ton of options on their menu. Some menus I'm sitting there like scratching my head. I'm like, this is tough. Like, I got to make some really big tweaks to the order. And Taco Bell, I can pretty much just like close my eyes and point to something and then make a few minor changes. And now it's high protein, high fiber meal because, I mean, there's a lot of beans for one. So you're getting a lot of fiber that way. And generally speaking, a lot of their meals aren't super high in calories. Like, obviously, the calories can add up very quickly, especially if you're getting a full sugar soda and you're getting multiple items. But if you're smart about how you're ordering, like, you can pretty much get anything that you like. And maybe a couple minor tweaks to the order. And all of a sudden, we're talking about like a pretty decent meal considering we're going to fast food. In terms of the best place, in my opinion, to go to is Chipotle. I love Chipotle. I literally rave about it all the time. Like, it's been like a running joke with my community that I should be sponsored by Chipotle with how much I talk about it. Like, I love Chipotle because you can go and make it meet any macros that you want. And it's so easy because of their nutrition calculator. Like, nobody else has a nutrition calculator the way they do. It's just go in, plug and play what you want. If you're like, I have 580 calories left for the day and I want to go to Chipotle, not a problem. If you want to hit 580 exactly, you can. Like, you could go in and fill that out to meet your exact requirements, hit the protein you need, hit the fiber you need, hit the calories you need. It's incredible how easy it is. The only drawback that they have is plant-based. It's like impossible to get a truly high protein meal plant-based because the Sofritas macros aren't great. But
Correct.
that's the only knock I can give them is like Chipotle has been amazing. In terms of a place that I was like surprised by how tough it was, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I know there's been a few that I'm like, there are some challenging ones out there for sure. But
What about
Taco
some
Bell.
general ideas of like, hey, like, are there any general tips that might apply to either specifically how you'd make the order, but just like a general approach of like, hey, if you're gonna include some of this stuff, try some of these things generally.
Yeah. So generally speaking, I mean, I'm always gonna say swap for a diet soda. If you're going for a soda, make that switch. You're saving yourself 100+ calories right off the bat. Like, they taste almost identical, if not the same. I think they taste the same. Some people will claim they don't, but if they don't, they're damn close. Like, you're not seeing a big change. If you can skip the fries, skip the fries. Like, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's like some days the best thing to do is just go get the Big Mac with the fry and the soda and enjoy it and just Don't even worry about it. Like, just have the meal. But most of the time, the best approach is going to be like, look, I can skip the fry realistically. If I really want the soda, I'll get a diet soda. And then look for any creative swaps that you can. Like, if you can see the menu, just look at the calories, glance at it. Most of them are on the board, at least when you're driving through. Generally speaking, like, chicken options are probably a little bit lower in calories and a little bit higher in protein. Not always the case, but probably you're going to be better off going with a chicken option, right? Like, if there's a smaller version, like, instead of getting a double quarter pounder, you can get a double cheeseburger, right? Something like that. Like, making that small switch to something that's a little bit smaller in size. It doesn't always equate volume to calories, but when we're talking about a fast food perspective, typically you're gonna get less volume, will be less calories because they're more or less the same ingredients that are going into it. And then just like, I don't know, you don't have to sacrifice your buns and stuff like that if you don't want to. Like, I'm not a guy that's doing that. Like, no, thank you. I'm not willing to save those extra calories. But like, the little changes that you can make like that are, I think, it's just like the most common sense ones are often the ones that we just need to be more mindful of.
I tend to start with, I think people sometimes are nervous in a binary sense about making any sort of change, right? They're just like not the kind of person who has previously made a modification to an order before at a restaurant on the menu or something. I usually challenge people just try making one modification, almost just like just break that seal of like just making a request once, particularly at a restaurant, if you want something maybe done a
Right.
different way. And I think that once you realize that, like, for the most part, unless you're like fucking, Saladino asking them to cook, what oil they're cooking the steak in, like, if you're being a real person, I think you realize that within reason, like, certain modifications, and a lot of these modifications are like within menu modifications, not being weird. But I think
Right.
I usually challenge my clients to try and just make a trade-off. Like just acknowledge that the average meal is large, and if you're looking to make some sort of calorie conscious trade-off, just do one. Just try starting with one thing. Make one trade-off. It's like, hey, have this or that. Make the soda swap. Make the, French fries for the salad. Make the it comes with the bacon instead. Do this. Like, just make one trade-off. Just start with that. And I think that, do you find that there's sometimes a barrier of like a discomfort level of making that sort of a request?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people can feel a little uncomfortable making requests like that, or just, and it can be a variety of reasons. Number one, usually they feel like they're inconveniencing sometimes. And also, it's just habits and routines. Like, you're used to going and getting the burger with the fries. So then getting the burger with the salad can feel different, or like asking for it without the bacon can feel weird at first, right? But what you'll find is like, it's a very minor sacrifice. You still get to enjoy your burger, right? It's like, sure, you didn't get the fries, and maybe sometimes the answer is do get the fries. Like, I still eat
Totally.
fries. I'm not saying I don't, of course.
Totally.
Like, but like, if I'm in a calorie deficit and I know, like, look, I have goals that I'm working towards, I want to be able to go out and enjoy dinner, but what capacity am I willing to do that in? Like, what sacrifice am I willing to make today for that, right? And some days it's like, no, there's no sacrifice. And most days it's going to be like, I'm going to sacrifice the fries. Or if I wanted to have a couple beers instead, I'll be like, let me get a salad so that way I can have a few drinks and not just totally end up consuming 1,000 calories plus in a sitting, right? Like, finding a way to like pick your indulgence is, I think, super valuable. And finding ways to just make those little swaps, once you start doing it, it becomes a lot easier. It becomes routine. And then you don't even really think about it. It just sort of happens naturally.
Yeah, my wife and I were at a 4th of July like town field get together thing with a million food trucks, and I'll typically consider making a trade-off, and mine these days might just come from like not wanting to feel terrible, and not so worried about the calories. But if I was in a deficit, maybe I'd be more inclined to be thinking about that. And I think we went to there was like a it was just like a chicken thing, and I was like, all right, am I going to make a trade-off? And then I saw they had like chicken tenders in a pancake as like a taco, and the pancakes are
Oh
holding the
my
chicken. I was
God.
like, I'm not making a single. I was like, there's no trade-off happening right now. I'm
Nope.
getting five of these chicken pancake tacos. And so I think you're right, where sometimes like, hey, sometimes it's not a trade-off moment. The first decision is, do you want to make that sort of a trade-off? Because it's okay if the answer is no. And the second is, how much of a
Right.
trade-off do we want to make? And yeah, I think that depends on the individual for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And also pancake
It was
tacos. Pancake
wild.
chicken tacos. Oh my God.
He was like,
That's unbelievable.
he's like, it's my play on chicken and waffles, but like you can hold it. And I was like, yeah,
Oh, it's
it's absolutely
brilliant.
genius. Unbelievable.
It's
Yeah, that
absolutely brilliant.
bacon, maple bacon syrup on it. And I was like, all right, give me
Oh
a
my
million of
God.
these. Yeah.
Don't
Yeah.
be surprised if you see me making
It was awesome. No, it was awesome.
that soon.
Going back to the Sean Casey mentorship, what
Yeah.
if there was a you or a young content creator, feeling that same sort of, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. Maybe I'm spinning my wheels. What sorts of things, either that you learned in that mentorship or since then, what sorts of pieces of advice would you give them?
Yeah, happy to chat on that because I work with Sean now in the social circle too. So it's really come full circle where now I'm helping coach a lot of those people. And ultimately, the number one thing, we just had an in-person event recently that I was a part of. And the number one thing that I said that I want everyone to take away from it was do something that makes you uncomfortable because that's where growth comes. If it makes you uncomfortable, that's a good thing. Like I was just talking about filming in public made me deeply uncomfortable, but that was the thing that sparked my growth that allowed me to stop working 100-hour weeks and quit my job. Like I owe it to McDonald's. But like it's literally just to myself stepping outside of my comfort zone and pushing myself. And then when I hit another slowdown in growth, which happens, it's part of the process, I started analyzing my content and I was like, right, like if I want to be big on recipes, I need a new fancy camera because there's no way I can do that. And I was uncomfortable. I had no idea how to use the thing. Thank God my friend's a photographer. He came over and helped me set it up. But like first couple of videos were not good. I had one where I spent 4 hours filming. I sat down, edited for an hour, and ended up throwing it away because the whole thing was junk. I was like, I can't save this. Like uncomfortable, frustrating, but I put myself through that. And then ultimately my content has gotten better because of it. I've been able to grow because of it. So doing something that makes you uncomfortable, and don't be afraid to invest in yourself and take the risks because that investment that I made in myself has changed my life beyond my wildest expectations. And it's just 16 months. And it wasn't just the money, it was the hard work, the effort, and the energy that I had to invest into it too. But make that investment into yourself. If you're passionate about it, you believe in it, like don't be afraid to just go all in, put that work in, and believe in yourself because what's the worst that happens? It doesn't work out.
Yeah, we're one Chipotle sponsorship away from living the dream. I think
Yes, that's
we're
it.
just
That's
one
it.
Chipotle sponsorship away.
When
I
we get
had Chipotle last
Chipotle, that's
night.
it.
Hey, are you a honey Chipotle guy now?
I like it. I like it. It depends. It depends on the day for me. I am a big fan. I also love the Adobo Ranch. As you know, I'm a sauce guy, so that was a big addition for me as well. I actually have to check the macros on that one. I haven't looked at it yet. I'm betting they're not great. They're usually not the best on sauces like that, but it's worth it. I'll tell you that much.
Off the
But
top of your head, just
yeah.
off the top of your head on Chipotle, if you're like, hey, I'm making a what's your go-to? I'm trying to save some calories, but I still want to get Chipotle order.
Yeah. I mean, I got this locked in.
I bet,
So it's
yeah.
light rice, half and half beans. So that way I'm getting a variety of micronutrients, double chicken. And then I'm going with as much veggies as possible. So fajita veggies, pico, corn salsa, lettuce. And then I'll do the green chili sauce as well. If I'm saving calories, guac is amazing. It's so good for you. It tastes great, but it's loaded with calories because avocado is healthy fat. So I'll skip the avocado. Obviously, we're going to skip the tortilla because their tortillas are insane. It's like 320 calories in a
Is it? I think
tortilla.
it's even more than that, no?
It might be slightly more. And
It's
then what happens is
bonkers.
it breaks, and then they wrap a second one around it. They don't. So it's like you have 640 calories in tortilla alone in your burrito. Like it's crazy how quickly it can add up. But yeah, so that's my go-to right there. Just load the veggies up, get the double chicken, go light on the rice, and like skip the cheese, skip the sour cream, skip the guac. Sure, it's not ideal. If you really want it, go either light sour cream or light cheese. And then you can get some sort of a compromise there, and you can get some. The calories aren't crazy high. Cheese, you'll get some protein out of. So I'd lean that way if you're picking between the two. But if you're like, I can't give up sour cream, go for it. Or you go home and you throw Greek yogurt on it instead.
I like that
That's
move.
my ultimate.
That's a power
It's my
move.
ultimate cheat move. Oh
It's a power
yeah.
move. I'm the opposite. I got the additional wrap to go last night. So I'm in the opposite scenario. I was like, I got the bowl. And I was like, can I also get a wrap on the side? I was like, the opposite scenario.
Right. But hey, sometimes that's what it's about too. Like I'll still get the burrito sometimes, but when it's generally speaking, if I'm trying to keep the calories as low as possible, like if I'm not trying to keep it as low as possible, there's cheese going on there, there's guac going on there too. Right. But generally speaking, that's like the strip the calories down as low as possible, jack the protein up, and still have it taste great order.
Yeah, I'm gonna need Chipotle again today. All right, flipping the
I
script a
am
little
too.
bit, talking to the talk, talking on the coach client side of things.
Yeah.
How long have you been coaching? What are some of the things that have changed over that time? And then we'll move to just some of the things that you work specifically on with people.
Yeah. So I've been coaching for close to 2 years now. Obviously a lot of the coaching experience has come in the last year and a half or so as my business has grown quite a bit. I've worked with a variety of different clients, but the bulk of my clients are like either beginner or like former athletes, kind of similar to me, or like former athletes maybe in their young 20s that sort of fell out of their habits and routines and like don't totally understand nutrition, but like are familiar with exercise routines and stuff like that. And it's sort of the most common things that I'm dealing with are mindset more than anything else. For the most part, getting people into the gym is not, it's not the issue of like they're afraid of like strength training or they're afraid of eating more nutrient dense foods. It's navigating emotional eating and like binge eating triggers, overcoming all or nothing mindsets where they've been ingrained to just go balls to the wall, like full on crazy diets, working out 5 days a week for 2 hours a day, trying all these aggressive strategies that many people grew up on because we didn't have what we have now in terms of knowledge out there. And then just coming around, overcoming emotions around the scale too, because the scale can be so finicky and so many people have been programmed to determine their self-worth off of a number on the scale, which is insane when we actually think about it and we look at it from a more logical perspective. And the more you learn about how much the scale fluctuates, and that's always a goal of mine, is to teach my clients why the scale is moving, how often it's moving, and like getting people to understand that can be such a freeing break. Like I have my clients weigh themselves daily. Not all of them, but most of them are comfortable doing so. But when you first tell them that they're going to weigh themselves daily, most of them are like, "What? Like I weigh once a week." But then you start to break it down. It's like makes so much more sense. Like, yeah, that scale is going to bounce all over the place every week. But when we can take an average and actually get the data that we need, and when we watch that average over time, then that tells us the real story. And I always say the example of, let's say you weigh in on Sunday mornings, right? And like 1 week you happen to be at a scale low on Sunday morning and you hit it and you're like, "Oh my God, I lost 5 pounds last week. Like I killed it." Right. And in reality, maybe you lost two or three and then there was a water weight drop, whatever it may be. But then throughout the week, you're good. You're tracking your calories, you're on point. And then Saturday night comes around and you have a birthday party, you end up eating pizza and cake. You get on Sunday morning and you've gained 5 pounds and you're like, "Oh my God, like I had one meal out and I derailed all my progress for the week." But in reality, if we tracked all week, it's going down, it's going down, it's going down. Big spike, and then it drops back down. So then when we can actually see this data, it becomes so much easier to remove the emotions. And that's always the result that I end up with people saying. It's like, it's amazing how freeing it's been to weigh myself daily when at first it was something that I thought would be the exact opposite.
Yeah, you need to, regardless of the interval and time in which you do that, you need to zoom out accordingly. And so if you're like, hey, I want to weigh once a week, like that has pros and cons. The cons being that scenario you just alluded to. And it's like, all right, if you want to weigh once a week, like we take monthly averages, right? Like at some point we need to accept that this thing's going to bounce around. And I've seen people do weekly, weekly weigh once a week and have monthly averages, but it can be a real shot in the gut if you're like 7 days later you get on the scale. And so there's pros and cons. You don't have to face that every day. It's like, but then you take 7 days worth of emotion and you place it all on that single day instead of placing like 1 day of emotion on 1 day of weighing in. And of course, regardless, you are going to have to face the fact that it's not linear. No, there is no escaping it. If you weigh daily or weekly or monthly, it's still not linear. And so yeah, I mean, I've even had people try and weigh monthly and you put 30 days of emotion, because of course the longer the interval of time, the greater level of certainty you think you'll have lost. And so the more annoyed and frustrated you'll be if you don't. So it's like, cool, if you weigh monthly, like you're very probably going to go down if you've been doing what you've been doing, but then you put 30 days of emotion on that single day and that can be super frustrating. Yeah.
And then if it happens to be one of those months where like things aren't necessarily on point, or you're a woman and you happen to be weighing during menstruation at this point in your month, and you're holding a lot more water weight, like there's so many factors that go into it. And I actually find, especially with women, the weekly tracking and the daily tracking can be so valuable, because then we can start to look at those 4 week averages and see how your body responds to your cycle. And then you can start to give yourself grace and compassion and understand why you're seeing this spike, why you're seeing this excess water retention. And it can be very freeing, especially in a phase when women are often experiencing more heightened emotions, to be able to navigate the scale with more grace and compassion for yourself is so important.
Do you find that a lot of your clients? I always, one of the things I really like about social media, I was an in-person trainer for a very long time. And when you're an in-person trainer, you are beholden to your geography, right? There's like a radius of people that will come see you. And yeah, you might be able to self-select people who are like you vibe with, but on some level, you are dealing with the people that are in your immediate environment. But you go out on the internet, you put yourself out there, people can kind of pseudo get to know you, and hopefully you can attract, obviously with a much greater pool, people that are a bit more like you. Do you find that people find you, because like, hey, this is a guy who understands that like I'm a real regular person who might also want to have Pizza Hut for fat loss during fat loss phase once in a while? Do you find that that's something that people gravitate towards in terms of hiring you as a coach. Not that that's all you're about and that's all you're doing. You're just every person who hires you, like, here's how you go to Chipotle. But like, do you find also that you're like, yeah, I put X out into the internet and I collect, people who are also interested or jive with that sort of mentality?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the majority of the clients that come into the business are people who will say to me, like, look, one of the big things that drew me to you was that, like, you didn't tell me I can't eat fast food. Like, the reality is, I would venture, I don't know the actual statistics, but I'd venture to guess that, like, probably close to 90% of Americans eat fast food at least once a month, right? Like, if not more frequently than that. And we see that it's a reality of life. It's like I said before, you throw a rock, you can probably hit a fast food place no matter where you're sitting. Like they're very prevalent. They're on every street. Like rather than trying to work against it, working with it, I think a lot of people come to me to that through that. And then of course I get people who are, a little bit different in sort of mindset, but they align with me in some way, shape, or form in terms of what their goals are, what they're looking to accomplish, right? And ultimately the goal always is
What if I
not
told
to
you that
eat as
this
much
in
fast food as possible too, right? I always find my clients, like at first I'll have a client that's like was eating there 5, 6 days a week. Like it was breakfast every day, it was Dunkin' Donuts, right? And they're starting to make the changes. They're starting to make the changes. And they're like, I just realized like I haven't gone to a fast food place at all this week. And like I didn't even try for that to happen. It's like that's the goal, right? Like that's what's gonna happen because you've removed the emotion from it. You've removed the I can't have it. Because I always say, like, saying you can't have something is like walking into a room full of things and someone's like, you can play with anything you want, you can touch anything, do whatever, but just don't hit that red button on the wall. The only thing you're going to think about that whole time you're in the room is what the red button does, right? It's the same exact thing when you're like, look, you can eat whatever you want here, you just can't eat fast food. Like you can't eat fast food, you can't eat chocolate, you can't eat a cookie. It's like that's all you're going to think about all the time. But when you remove that, you just start to naturally gravitate towards the foods that make you feel better.
Yeah, I think there's a thread in here also that like dieting doesn't have to be pain and eating nutritiously doesn't have to be gross. I think you're that on both fronts where you're like, hey, here's how you can eat out and not entirely throw off your progress. And I think more lately, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, more lately, you're like, hey, here's things you can make at home that also taste great, and don't break the caloric budget.
Yeah, I've definitely been leaning into more of the recipes because that was what my first love was making my own food. Like was what I really when things started to click for me nutritionally, I was just like learning to adapt a lot of my favorite dishes and make them higher in protein, higher in fiber, lower in calories, like expanding the micronutrient profiles of what I'm eating so that way I'm getting more balance into my diet without sacrificing my favorite foods. Like adding vegetables to pretty much any meal that you can think of, just like looking for ways to get creative to jack up the protein, to drop the calories. And when you start to do that, it becomes quite fun and quite easy, in my opinion, at least. Like when I look at a meal, I'm always thinking of how I can make those changes now. But I think it's important to find the balance of all of that, right? And like I also will just go grill chicken and air fry asparagus and rice and have that, and it's a lot of my meals too, right? But obviously those aren't the ones that are the ones that end up on Instagram for the most part. But like being able to say like I want mac and cheese and I'm gonna go make it, right? Like being able to go enjoy those meals is important, and being able to make just those minor changes, because it doesn't have to be big things. It's little tweaks to these recipes and all of a sudden it's higher in protein, higher in fiber, and lower in calories.
I think there are people who, people say like, I really like food, and another person might just consider that some sort of cope of like, like I like food too. Like everyone likes food. And I just like, I think, first of all, I think factually that's not true insofar as people don't all love food the same amount. Chemically, from a brain perspective, we have some pretty cool studies. So where we had take like fMRI imaging of like, show somebody a picture of food and look and see certain parts of the brain that light up, and it's like a wide variety from person to person. But I just look at like some people go through fat loss m with more martyrdom. They're just like, hey, I'm gonna eat this chicken broccoli br brown rice meal, and I'm just gonna fucking slop through it, and I'm gonna, that's what you got to do. And some people are fine doing that, and then they're
Right.
very simplifying. But I do think that there's a lot of times where people don't want to do it. They want to eat stuff that tastes good, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think you're doing a good job being like, hey, it doesn't have to be gross. Here's this. My mouth is watering with the Domino's garlic parm sauce. Like, I'm just like, you're killing the sauce game right now. Like, clearly, like something about watching like sauce like pour over chicken in slow motion has Instagram just like just absolutely
Just loves
pay for more content. Yeah.
it. Everybody loves
They
sauce.
fucking love sauces, man. Killing sauces. But I think there are some people out there that are like, hey, stop trying to make everything taste good and low calorie this and high protein that. And I think that there's versions of that that I don't love. Like I don't love is a weird way of saying it. I don't think everything needs to be low cal. I know you're not saying that either, by the way. But not everything needs to be low cal. Not everything needs to be high protein. You could just have a regular ranch. You could just have a regular this. But it's okay sometimes to find some sort of a trade-off. And I think that there's a good, I say a market, but like people out there who are seeking, I don't want it to just be bland. And I also know that the full calorie version in the amount that I want is a lot of calories. And so, yeah, I think you're doing a good job of that. And I'm going to be scoping out some of these sauces for sure. Which one is your favorite high protein
Oh,
sauce?
that's a very good question and a very tough question. So one that hasn't been dropped yet, it is in the book, but Chipotle aioli is unbelievably good. I filmed it and it's going to be dropping probably next week. Let's see.
Do
That's
you,
such a tough
it's like, hey
question.
man, is this like actually not that hard if you just start with a Greek yogurt base?
A little bit, honestly. Like
Don't
I the
mean
first
you
one that I
finish what you're
made.
doing. I'm just saying. I'm just, you know.
I mean, the first one that I made was a ranch and the video went viral, but to be honest, the initial recipe wasn't that good. I actually went into the caption and changed it because
Fuck.
I tried it. I'm like, this didn't quite hit the way I wanted it
Let's
to.
do
So I
that,
tweaked
yeah.
some ingredients and I was like, here, this recipe's better. You get eat this one. Like, don't eat the original one. But for the most part, it's just minor tweaks, right? Starting with the Greek yogurt base is obviously just the key because you're saving a ton of calories and you're bringing the protein way up, right? So anytime that you can add sauce to something and it's actually contributing to the amount of protein that you're getting in and contributing to the protein to calorie ratio instead of taking away from it is a huge win right off the bat. And it's also going to keep those calories a lot lower. And then just like not making every sacrifice, like not just doing like, okay, I'm doing Greek yogurt and like ranch seasoning and then that's it. Like use a little bit of like fresh herbs, throw some light mayonnaise in there for a little bit of creaminess. Like I'll even put a teaspoon of olive oil into like the Chipotle aioli has a teaspoon of olive oil because it adds that creamy like fatty mouthfeel that you're looking for, but it's like 10 calories. Like it's actually not making a huge impact, but you notice the flavor difference, right? Like looking at those opportunities to not strip away every calorie, but finding ways to improve the flavor profile. And then just like using your taste buds to make the changes. If it doesn't taste quite right, see how you can iterate.
Did you hear about the EPG situation?
Yes, I did actually.
I
Yeah,
think
with
I don't know who it was, but you make a there's a this he was making some sort of chicken sauce.
Yeah, I'm forgetting his name off the top. I know it's Nutrition Narc is his Instagram handle.
You're
For
familiar with
whatever
that
reason, I'm forgetting
ingredient? I
his.
mean,
Yeah, I think it's Blake is his name. Yeah, so I'm a little bit familiar with it. I hadn't heard too much about it before he put out that video about it, but very interesting scenario. I haven't heard any updates, so I don't know if you have an update on the situation.
I don't have an update on the situation. And for the listener, there's like Peter Attia owns a company called, or doesn't own, or is like primary investor in slash owns, don't quote me on that, the David Protein Bars. And the David Protein Bars have like an elite macros for the taste. And it's not that they're the greatest protein bar ever, but that ratio of like, hey, these are pretty good for the macros, is
Right.
basically down to the use of this thing. I'm not explaining to you, I know you know. Is basically
Yeah.
the use of this almost like a fat alternative called EPG, which has like basically no calories but acts as a fat in terms of the texture. It's almost like a like stevia, let's say stevia for as a sweetener. It's like a fat that basically has no calories. And there was a guy like similar in your world of creating a sauce. He was creating a chicken sauce that you're maybe making a recipe. He was trying to sell it. And yeah, he went to go finally take it to market. He was using EPG in there so that he could make it tastier, right? And have a nice texture without the extra calories. And it turns out that the David Protein Bar Company purchased the rights to or all of the company that makes EPG. And now he's unable to use it because they're like monopolizing that as an ingredient. But I think if you're a listener, you're going to hear a bit more about this ingredient. I mean, if you think of what stevia has done to the market in terms of sweeteners, if we can have the same thing from like a texture taste perspective with, I think it's like 92% lower calories. I think that that's not going to hold. I think people are going to figure out how to either recreate it in some way because it's too valuable a product or an ingredient, I think, given the market.
Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree with you too. Like they're not going to be able to hold it the way that they think that they are. Like it's, as you said, monopolizing essentially, right? And that's not legal. So I know he's suing them, and I would be willing to bet that he's going to win that, because he's got a very strong argument against it. Like, they don't have the right to monopolize an entire ingredient, especially one that can have such a positive impact on our society and the world as a whole in terms of overall health and wellness. Like, EPG has huge potential to just dramatically drop calories in so many meals without losing that flavor. Just like you were mentioning, as stevia has done that. I think that's the perfect comparison, because sure, it doesn't taste exactly like sugar, but you know something, you sweeten something with stevia and the calories are a fraction of what they would be, and you still get that sweet treat. That's a win in my book. And if you can do the same thing with fats, that's just another huge win.
Totally, totally. We're gonna end up eating like it's funny. There's like in some of the like pre-workout nutrition studies where they're trying to compare like different meals, they use sometimes what's called a placebo meal, which is like what they're trying to do is they give one group like let's say 200 calories of oatmeal, and it's like okay, is this many carbs and this many calories? But they want to blind the study somehow, and you can't blind the study if the group doesn't get any food, then they know that they are the fasting group, and so they make up like a oatmeal-like texture placebo meal. And it's just like this gelatinous kind of gross thing. But anyway, I was just thinking of like, that's kind of what we're going to end up with, which is like, hey, we have a bunch of EPG and artificial sweetener and dye, and it tastes like food. And it tastes like there's fat and sugar, and there's like a fake salt in there. And all of a sudden you have this like fake no calories, but yeah, whatever. That's probably where we're headed anyway. All right. Let me do a couple lines of questions that I ask. Most of my guests at towards the end of the podcast, just to get to know you a little bit more and humanize some of what we do here. So what I'd like to know is, what's something that you know factually is good for you, healthy, should be part of your life, but just isn't for one reason or another?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm going to say, like, running or high intensity cardio. I'm not doing enough of it right now. I just started getting back into running, and then I rolled my ankle and just totally just fucked it off and fell out of routine with it. And now I'm like, I know, realistically, no, like, just a couple sessions a week, nothing crazy. But getting back to high intensity cardio would be so good for me. It's not something that's a part of my routine, but it definitely will be. Now this is another reminder to get back to it.
That's a good one. That's definitely good. I mean, rolling your ankle sucks, and then it's hot as shit out right now. So like,
Oh, those are awful.
I just got into running like about a year ago, and this is my first like dead of summer, and I'm like, oh, like all the enjoyment that I had, turns out it was from being outside. And now I'm like on my treadmill at 6 a.m. like watching Love is Blind or Love Island with my wife for like 45 minutes, like on the treadmill. And like
Right.
it just is what it is. But that's a good one. Let's do another one. What is something that's not healthy that you know is not amazing for you that you do?
Eating fast food. Easy.
Beers. You
And
said beers twice on the podcast. I was like, beers. Yeah.
beers. And beers too. I'm going to a concert tonight, actually, so I'll definitely be having a few beers as well, right? And like, actually, I think alcohol is a great one to talk about, because obviously, like, it's literally a poison. Like, it's not good for you. It's not good for you physically or mentally. But I think that there's also like an element of it that does help you sort of unplug and unwind a little bit, and like spend some time with friends, family, whatever, celebrating memory, and like being able to step away from it, and then also being able to incorporate into your life in moderation. Same with anything else, right? Like, I took 7 months off alcohol last year, actually, which was awesome. I loved it. I set out to do a month and I did seven, but then I came back to it and learned to incorporate it into a way that feels good for me. And I'll probably go through another phase like that again in my life. But yeah, I think alcohol is a great one.
Did you come back to alcohol differently than you left it, or did you come back to it the same, but maybe with a different mindset around it?
You know, I think I had already shifted my mindset around alcohol a lot. Like, I definitely used to drink way too much in college. Like, it was a point where it was unhealthy. I did not have a good relationship with it. Like, I wasn't an addict by any means, but like, it was not a good relationship. I was not using it in a healthy way. By then, I barely drank as it was. Like, it would be once every few weeks at that point. And then I just sort of decided that I wanted to see what it was like. So I was like, all right, I'm taking a full month off was the start. So I took a month. I felt so good after a month. I was like, might as well just keep going. I've got so much that I'm working on right now. I don't really have time to spend a day hungover or anything like that anyways. And I think when I came back to it, I felt like it was similar, but I had a newfound respect for sobriety and like stepping away from it entirely, and what those benefits can feel like. So that way, like, I'm more cognizantly aware of the effects that even small amounts of alcohol can have on the body and just on our mental health.
Do you change your eating or your drinking habits when you slash if you try and lose fat if you're in a deficit, or is that something you've done for a long time?
Great question. Usually, yes, but I'm doing a challenge right now for the month of July. I'm set out to lose 7 pounds eating pasta every day, which has been one of the most fun challenges I've ever done, by the
Best
way.
challenge ever,
Love pasta. So that's been super easy for me to eat every day. I'm Italian too, so just like I can eat pasta every day, no problem. I'm gonna get to day 31 and want pasta still. But I've also like the 4th of July, I've had a few drinks on the 4th of July and then on the day after as well. But like where normally I might have been like, yeah, I'll have a beer at like around noonish and then like, I wouldn't be going crazy, but I'd have a couple beers throughout the afternoon and then a few at night. I waited until night. I was like, I'm just gonna wait until we're sitting around the campfire so that way I can have 3 or 4 beers around the campfire and enjoy it rather than ending up having 8 beers throughout a 12-hour period and then being like, well, that was extra calories that I didn't really need. It's not like I was even catching a buzz off of them. It's more just about like sipping the beer throughout the day. So I was like, I'd rather sacrifice that, maybe have a diet soda or just drink my water and then enjoy them later in the afternoon. So I'll make sacrifices, not necessarily step away, but sometimes I will. Like it depends on where I'm at and where my goals are. If I'm really dialed in, I'm on like a, giving 100% of my effort right now. Yeah, usually I sit around 80%, right? And so when the 80%, then it's like enjoying it when it makes sense too, and then sacrificing it when it's like I'm just out to dinner. I don't need a beer.
Yep. Pasta is, ironically, I'm not a ever like would advocate you, at least at face value. I think there's a time and a place for almost anything, but at face value, wouldn't recommend completely cutting out foods to lose fat at all. But me personally, given just all of the having all the knowledge of what I could be doing and the options, and I try not to have pasta when I'm cutting because I am a bottomless pit. Like there are just this is my personal experience, not necessarily trying to put this out there as everyone should feel this way, but I don't enjoy a small portion of pasta. It is just a food that there's like a certain shape and size bowl where it's like if it's not in that bowl, if I don't need that to get that bowl out, like it's just a tease. And so it just by pasta. Pasta is the thing where it's like, if I just like this swap in satiety per calorie from pasta to potato, I'm just like oh, when like the minute I get out of the deficit, I'm like, I gotta, it's not that I can have pasta again, I'm just choosing from a calorie to satiety ratio that's a better choice when I have more calories. But yeah, man, pasta. So when you said that, I'd be like, actually, that'd be kind of challenging for me. But eating pasta every day is super fun, obviously. But for some reason, it's a food. I think that listen, there are things like the satiety index that try and quantify how satiating certain foods are, but I do think there's individual difference. I do not
Absolutely.
get satiated from pasta at all. It's like nothing happened. And so yeah, just sharing that, I'm just like, yeah, man, that would actually be quite a challenge for me. So kudos to you and the Italian side coming out for sure. Yeah.
So for me, I'm also the same way wherein like normally if I were just sitting down and calories don't matter, I want the biggest bowl that I can get and then I might get more on top of it. But for me, I'm like, I love pasta so much that like for me to cut it out completely for 30 days is harder than eating it every day for 30 days in a smaller quantity. For me,
Got
it's
it.
actually, of all things, to just back up what you said about satiety index, it's steak. I am a bottomless pit with the steak. If you put a pound and a half steak in front of me, there's a pretty good chance I can finish the whole thing. And then by the end of it, I'm like, I still want more steak. This is crazy. Like, I'm like, that was just like 100 grams of protein. There's no, and I had potatoes with it. I have no business having any room in my stomach, but I feel like I could eat more steak right now, which is just like a prime example of the point you just made.
Carnivore bros just punching the air everywhere. Dude, it's satiating, I promise. Yeah. So we'll wrap up. What's next for you? What's next for you business-wise, content-wise? What are you excited about now? What are you excited about for the future?
That's a great question. Right now, in terms of business, I've got a new challenge coming up at the end or in the beginning of August, doing a 6-week challenge in my coaching community, which I'm very excited for. Always fun to bring in new faces and watch some people changing their lives. Just looking at the ways and directions that I want to take my business moving forward too, I find that to be a lot of fun and very exciting ideas of like bringing in coaches to work with me and things like that. I have one right now that is a former client, so it's been really cool to watch him just develop full circle to now he's fallen in love so much that he wanted to start coaching and I've been helping guide him through that, which has just been a ton of fun. He's killing it as a coach as well, which was no surprise with his work ethic. But in terms of content, just honestly expanding a little bit more back to some of the stuff I used to do. I feel like, and I'm sure you can relate to this, sometimes we just sort of get into our routines stuff and I'm like, right, like fast food sauce, maybe another recipe a week and like that was good for me for now because I needed to take a step away because I was creating so much that like I needed a break. But now I'm excited. I'm like, right, I talk more about some just like general fat loss advice and like nutrition advice, giving tips and things like that. I used to do a lot of like character style reels. I know you do those sometimes too. I want to get back to doing stuff like that that I find genuine joy in. I just needed to take a break from creating daily and creating as much as I was so that way I had time to focus on me. And then outside of anything to do with business, health, and fitness, just I'm a rock climber. I've been getting a lot better and just continuing to progress in my
Sweet,
sport.
dude.
And yeah, it's just started outdoor climbing this year. And oh my God, is it a whole new challenge? Humbling as hell. So much fun. But I've got a trip coming up in September slash October out to Utah that I'm super excited for. Going to do some climbing out there, which they've got like world-class climbing. So I'm pretty excited for
Yeah,
that.
Utah is sweet. Yeah, Utah is awesome. That's super cool. I also like that you said outside of health and fitness and then listed like a completely. No,
I
but
know it
it shows
is.
that you view it as like a just a fun and a hobby thing, not necessarily like a I'm doing this because I'm trying to. And by the way, you climbing can be great physical fitness, and training. And but it
Right.
shows that you're viewing this as like, hey, this is like a thing I just really like to do,
Yeah, and that's actually something I talk about with my clients and just like on my page all the time. It's like you don't need to just like go to the gym 5 days a week if you hate lifting weights. It's like find an exercise routine that you enjoy and then train to get better at that. Like my training is, it looks nothing like it did when I started and I was starting bodybuilding. And then I fell in love with rock climbing and now I'm like working on hip mobility and things that you just, and like hanging from fingertips and working
Yeah,
on my grip
totally.
strength, things that you would never think make any sense for like a personal trainer to be training, but it makes total sense for the sport that I'm interested in. So like, and like you said, I said outside of health and fitness, but it is, it's physical activity. Just to me, it doesn't, I don't even consider it. It's like, it's unwork related. It's not related to like my health and fitness goals as a whole. It's more just like I want to get better at this, and my health and fitness goals help me get better at this instead.
Yeah, there's a girl in my group. If I'll program pull-ups, and she'll send a form video, and she's like, "Is it okay if I do these with fingertips?" I'm like, "You're a fucking savage!" Like, you're like,
Yes.
"Yes, it's okay.
Yep.
Yeah, no problem."
Yeah, that's a climber right there.
Fonty, man, I appreciate you coming by, spending some time with us. I gotta tell you, you're doing such a good job, man, and I really like your content. And
I
I'm
appreciate
just kind
that.
of a little bit fatigued from just some of the stuff that's out there. Just like my relationship with my own social media feed. You're just a good change of pace, and just keep doing what you're doing. Doing a great job.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate that. And I can resonate with that. It's tough out there, but fortunately there are people like us putting out the good word and spreading some sustainable advice. And thank you for having me, of course. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks, dude. I'll tag you and everything. You know the drill. All right.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.